When I started our liturgy this morning, I made reference to that this is the octave of Christmas. And the octave of Christmas begins on Christmas Day. It ends on January 1st as we celebrate the Solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God. During the octave of Christmas, there are many feasts. The first one, after Christmas Day on December 26, is the Feast of St. Stephen the Martyr. And we mark him because when Jesus comes into the world, not everyone is willing to accept him as the Messiah. Stephen accepted Jesus as the Christ and paid for his life. He was brought before the Sanhedrin and sentenced to death. And as he's being put to death, the words on his lips are, "Come, Lord Jesus." Then on December 27th, we celebrate the feast of St. John, the apostle and evangelist. He is the one who has written beautiful gospel and letters, giving us the story of the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And his gospel is rich with many words. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the Son of God. I am the gatekeeper. And on December 28th, we mark the Feast of the Holy Innocents. The Holy Innocents are those newborn babies who were put to death at the hand of Herod when Herod wanted to seek Jesus out to murder him. In turn, no one should ever be forgotten. And today, we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family. And personally, this is a difficult feast for me. And I've spoken about this throughout the many years, for as long as I've been here at St. Andrew's, that this is a difficult one because the family in which my brother and I grew up in were of unpredictability, anger, and rage, wondering if we were ever supposed to be with the family that we were with. But we have forgiven our parents and we have moved on. But today, this church calls Jesus' family the Holy Family. And when we are brought up and told the story, we are given an idealized picture of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And there is a tendency to see life with this family as all sweetness and light. And we are left with the question, how can this family be a model for our families, particularly if the families are broken by migration, health, family violence, any number of things? Everywhere we recall the story of angels whispering in the ears of Mary and Joseph, advising them in times of doubt, warning them in times of danger. This would mean that they never had to agonize over a decision. We tend to see the home of Nazareth, a place where perfect harmony and complete understanding has always reigned. It's as if Jesus, Mary, and Joseph lived on a sunlit island cut off from the storms of the field. We are not told much about the life of the Holy Family in the Gospels. All we get are glimpses. These glimpses are enough to show how unreal the picture that we have been given when we grow up. The Holy Family had more than their share of problems. For instance, when the time came for Jesus to be born, Joseph and Mary could find no decent or clean accommodations. Jesus is born in a stable. After his birth, Jesus becomes a target for Herod's murderers. Mary and Joseph had to take Jesus and flee to Egypt. There they discovered what it was like to be outsiders in a foreign country. When they returned to their own country, they had to begin life again. And they settled in Nazareth. When Jesus was 12, he got separated from Mary and Joseph during a visit to Jerusalem. Joseph and Mary were sick with worry, sought him for 3 days, and found him in the temple. After that, this story, we don't hear about Joseph again. Tradition tells us that he passed away, but we really don't know that. But Mary is left with Jesus. And Mary didn't always understand what Jesus was doing during his public life. She feared that he was being overtaken by the crowds. She saw the tide turn against him. She witnesses his arrest, persecution, crucifixion, and death. A sword of sorrow pierced her heart, and a real sword pierced the heart of Jesus. No one can claim that the Holy Family lived free of a troubled life. Our families today are visited by sorrow, misunderstandings, and problems of one kind or another. As I said, migration, family violence, health, any number of issues. We draw inspiration from Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, who coped with their problems as a family. Jesus was raised as a devout Jew. We hear in our psalm response, "Blessed are they who fear the Lord." Well, the word really is not fear. It's blessed are they who reverence the Lord. We are called to love God with all of our hearts and all of our minds. In turn, are called to love those whom God sends into our lives. There is no such thing as a perfect family. When humans live together, misunderstandings and disagreements take place. All of us are wounded by sin when this occurs. Holiness is the fruit of sacrifice and struggle. This is why we gather as an assembly each Sunday to listen to the Word of God and to eat of the body of Christ. This is why we have the sacrament of reconciliation, to be absolved by Christ, to make a resolution to do better. This is why we have the sacrament of anointing, so that we are given the grace to face the difficulties that come. This is why we have the sacrament of baptism, to be free from sin and to walk in the feet of Christ, to gain salvation with God the Father. We are all spiritual beings on a human journey. And not only are we called to take care of ourselves, but we are called to take care of the wider family of the world. Not simply by praying for them, but by being their advocate and being able to share a little of what we have or whatever is possible we can share, whether it be time, talent, or treasure. So as we pray, continue to pray during this liturgy, let us pray for our own healing and pray for those families who struggle every day with separation, issues of migration, issues of domestic violence, issues of health.